Yeah, I'll turn to God's word now. Would you turn to 1 John chapter 2? 1 John chapter 2, and I'll look at verses 9 to 11. I'll read from verse 3. So, 1 John chapter 2, reading from verse 3. Now, by this we know that we love him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly, the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, the new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Amen. So there clearly is a theme here in John's mind. He's clearly writing, I think, to a specific situation, the details of which we do not know. But the themes of walking in the light and you loving each other are clearly interwoven very much in his head. So previously, last week, he looked at a new commandment I give unto you, Jesus said. Then we have the outworking of it in verse 9. So in verse 9, we have somebody who says, I am in the light. Which, of course, is a metaphor for I am walking with Christ, who is the light of the world. I am a believer. I am communing with him. I am living righteously. And yet, this one who says he is in the light is simultaneously hating his brother. I don't think that necessarily means an immediate family member. It could mean another member of the human race. More likely, it means a member of the church. And hate, of course, is a very strong word. I think you can dislike someone and still love them. I don't think you can hate them and love them. Hatred is such a strong thing. There are things we are, of course, called to hate. But here we've got hating his brother, although he claims to be in the light, he is in fact in the darkness. Here is somebody who may be akin to the character Talkative in Pilgrim's Progress, who says all the right things, but when you look at the lifestyle, he's in fact hating other people. People whom, I hasten to add, God loves a great deal. The contrast is with the person in verse 10. He who loves his brother abides in the light. Does that mean that every feature and characteristic of the brother, he is in a state of constant admiration? Probably not. Probably not. But he loves him. And love, we know, covers a multitude of sins. He keeps forgiving him. Keeps showing compassion on him, as indeed somebody prayed before. So he not only is he abiding in the light, but evidently he doesn't need to tell somebody he's abiding in the light, because that is demonstrated by the way he's actually acting towards another person. And we're told there is no cause for stumbling in him. He will not trip up. He will not fall flat, because his actions back up his claims. The first person, presumably, is going to stumble, because he's not in the light. He is walking in the darkness, though he claims to be in the light. And we get the concluding kind of thought in verse 11. He who hates his brother is in darkness. Now, we know that Jesus claimed to be the light of the world. It's a little bit cliched, but when people have become Christians, they will often say, I saw the light. They saw Jesus Christ through the eyes of faith, and they see things differently now to how they saw things before. But the favourite example I like to give is that before you're a Christian, you view the grave or dying with fear and trepidation. I'm not saying that entirely goes away, but of course when you're a Christian and you fully meditate upon what death actually is, not only does it become neutralised, it actually becomes something rather wonderful. The doorway to go and be with Christ, which is better by far, because our attitudes change when we see things in the light. But here we have this hater of a brother who is in darkness. He walks in darkness. His lifestyle is one of darkness. He does not know where he is going. Presumably, this person, I think, was never converted. I suspect he's one of the false teachers against whom John is writing. They deny that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, and they have no qualms or scruples about hating other people, but they put on a good show outwardly and through what they say. They don't know what they are going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Of course, Jesus Christ, the light. The scales fall from our eyes when in him we believe. But those who reject him, even those who claim to have him but still reject him, they are as dark and unknowing as ever anyone was. And one of the hallmarks of knowing that we are his is not only that we will walk as he walked, as he has previously said, but in our attitudes to each other. If we hate each other, quite possibly, nay, certainly, it's because we don't know him. When you love Jesus Christ and you realise that he loves you despite everything, you can learn to love the unlovable. You can learn to forgive the unforgivable. You can learn to call people your brother and your sister, whom you might not probably choose to employ, but you can reckon them family, because if they're in Christ and you're in Christ, you're going to spend a whole eternity together. I managed recently to be reconciled to a couple of people I fell out with. And I'm really, really glad of that. Because the thought occurred to me that, you know, I'm going to be spending eternity with these people. So I need to get right with them now, because I must get right with them then. You know, heaven is not the kind of place whereby you see somebody over there and you go in the opposite direction. Because, you know, we must be reconciled. And ideally, we do it now. We ought to be a little bastion or outpost of heaven here. Not in terms of the glory and the spectacle, but certainly in terms of the love and the forgiveness and the compassion and the fellowship. And that, I think, is what John is speaking of.